Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Amy. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thanks for having me. Super excited.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I live in Adelaide, South Australia, so right down the bottom of the world, like almost literally. There's nothing between me and Antarctica but ocean. That's how bottom of the world I am. And I write under a couple of different names, but under the name Amy Barry, I write westerns, so historical romance westerns.
Okay, so what was the source of inspiration? Like, what's the origin story for Western historical romance?
I know, it seems like weird.
This is a really old school romance genre that we have seen its height in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, and then, you know, it's coming back, but it's, you know.
It's an odd genre. Like, it's a weird thing. And I don't think I ever really realized how much I loved the Westerns, because I grew up in that old school era. So I was in high school when Joanna Lindsay was big and Lavelle Spencer, and there were so many of them back then. Yeah. Catherine Anderson, who else was there? Elizabeth Lau. That whole old school kind of 90s era. So I used to read them a lot, and Joanna Lindsay and people like that would write in all different time periods, so Regencies, Westerns. And I don't think I realized how much I loved the Westerns until I started writing historical romance and gravitated towards the Westerns more than the others. So I have some unpublished manuscripts in other genres, but I just found the Westerns so much fun. And I liked that the heroines were, you know, that it's not about drawing rooms and balls and class systems, and they're not decorative or pretty in that way. They're just really active, particularly, I mean, not all of my heroines are, but there's a main character in the series called Junebug McBride, and she definitely is, and I love her. And I just love how rough and raw it is, and I liked the outlook. And I think because I'm Australian and I'm from a state in Australia that was settled around the same time as the American West, and we have a very similar experience. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, cattle, sheep, mining, had gold rushes just like the US, and there was a lot of movement back and forth between the US and Australia in that time. So some of my ancestors actually were Irish, who went to the US first and then came here. So I felt like it was very familiar to me in a way that like a Regency wasn't.
Yeah. I love this. I love the idea of like just a familiarity, and there's some parallels between Australian and the US and the Westerns, and like, you know, what life looked like in the Westerns. And like, there's a resurgence with cowboys. Like, people are loving the cowboys.
People love cowboys. Love them.
They're just like, oh my gosh, give me a cowboy. And I'm like, okay. You know, big city girl here. I'm like, I don't get it.
I think there's also this longing, you know, that we've had a rough few years, right? Yeah. It's been a rough time in the world. And there's this longing for like the simple way of life. Like, nature's a big thing in the Western, and the idea of, you know, everyone who during COVID was making sourdough, that is such a Western way of life, right? And cottage core and that whole kind of leaning towards the cozy. I think that's visible in the Western too.
I love this. So let's chat about marrying off Morgan McBride, which actually has one of those favorite Western tropes, mail order bride.
Yeah, mail order brides. It is it's a thing. I really loved the idea of giving it a twist. So I have a friend who people might know, Anne Gracie, the Regency writer. And we were talking at a conference one year about how much she loves mail order brides. And I remember thinking, oh, I'd love to do something with that. And with this series, what you have is a younger sister named Junebug McBride, who has four older brothers. Mm-hmm. And she lives in the mountains with her four older brothers, and she's responsible for all the women's work. So she's only about 13, 14 when we meet her in the first book. And she just is like, we need a wife. Like, I don't want to do all this work. Like, I'm not your wife. And so she takes up to ordering these mail order brides without telling her brothers. But she also doesn't want to sell the poor wives the false bill of goods. So she decides to tell the truth about her brothers. And mm-hmm. if you can imagine your little sister telling the truth about you, it makes for some fun.
Oh my gosh. And so this is like, we have Kid My Bride, which is the first book in the series. Yep. And then we got Morgan. And then do we have any more books in the series or are we
getting? Yeah, hopefully. I'm still kind of thinking about it. I would love to do Bo next. The book ends with the setup for Bo's book, and it would be called The Seven Brides for Bo McBride, because he and Junebug get into a competition. So by this point, everyone's well aware of Junebug ordering up brides because she's done it twice before. And Bo decides he's going to order himself a bride, but Junebug thinks she can do it better. So they get into a bet about who's going to get the best bride. And Junebug's going to get a little bit worried. He picks too good a bride, so she's going to order six of them. there's constant chaos.
So as a writer, this could be very interesting or could be very difficult to come up with seven different characters.
And they're thinking, but it's fun. I mean, I think the main thing with the McBrides, they've gone forever. They're so much fun. Like, I just love dropping into Bucks Creek in the world, and I just, they're very entertaining. I would say they're a lot like farces, and they're a little bit bananas, like the old school romances.
Yeah.
But with new school politics.
Yes. new sensibilities of like old school buyers, but like 2023 sensibility.
Yeah, exactly.
I love this. What kind of books do you tend to read?
I read everything. I have to say, I just, like, I was looking around my room thinking about it before. I just don't think I have a genre I stick to. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't read in my genre when I'm writing. So I did a literary studies, like an English degree. So I like love the classics, but I also love Stephen King and horror. And I love nonfiction and creative nonfiction and historical epics. So yeah, I kind of read constantly and read everything. And sometimes I'll have two or three books on the go if my mood's shifting around. I read on my Kindle and I read print. I'm running out of room for print, to be honest. I can barely get behind my desk because of all the books.
It's a lot. Like, it adds up. Like, I ended up downsizing my book collection. It's all electronic now. But it gets so easy. Like, even though, like, I downsized it and I still have like a little stack of books, and I'm like,
yeah,
it adds up. Like,
oh, so quickly.
Beautiful covers and beautiful ideas and like keepers, and there's so many keepers you want to have.
And yeah. I we downsized too when we moved house a couple of years ago, and I've already built it back up. I don't know how. But yeah. it's that thing of sometimes when you love a book, you want the object, you want the actual hard copy book.
Yeah.
And I'm bad because I also have an office, like I'm an academic, so I have an office at work, and that's full of books too. Yeah. And I think, oh, wow, if I ever retire, where am I going to put all these books? I'm going to need another house just for books.
Yeah. Oh. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I was thinking about this. I've just started actually a podcast as well with some people at work about popular romance studies, and we're launching in August, but we've been doing a book club. So I've been reading a lot of rom-coms lately, like all the greatest hits of the rom-coms. So we just read Get a Life, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert, and Happy Place by Emily Henry, which everyone's reading. And we've been reading Ali Hazelwood as well. So I've been in rom-com land a lot. And I think Emily Henry is great. There was a line in Happy Place that I just stayed with me that I loved, which was, it was just about the character, and it was the anxiety lifted off her like dandelion seeds. And I love the way she writes. But in terms of, I was dipping back into my old fashioned collection because we were thinking about doing a season on old school, because I podcast with a couple of postgrads who are in their 20s and have not read any of that stuff. And I went back to my Julie Garwoods. Have you ever read Julie Garwood? Oh, I went back and I was rereading The Bride, and she's still great, like really funny and great world building. So that one's a Scottish, and it's just great. I also just read Stephen King's Fairy Tale. I don't know if you've read that. And that took off. Like he did that thing he does that no one else can do, because I don't think an editor would let you do it. It's just he's Stephen King, where you get a third of the way and you think it's one book and then it pivots and it just becomes incredible, like it is something else entirely. So I would, if you haven't read Fairy Tale, I would read it and then just hang in there until it does this turn and you'll know when it happens. But it's like a mashup of like Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, all these great kind of fantastic texts. I really liked it. Hunger Games as well. There's all kinds of weird mashup things in there. And then if you love Westerns, he's not a romance writer, but Larry McMurtry, I don't know if anyone ever watched the old Lonesome Dove series, but his Westerns, he's got a whole bunch of them. He's got these little series, Westerns called the Berry Binders series. There's a whole bunch of them. But I think he does beautiful Westerns that are really funny. They're really quirky characters.
I love this. All right, we got to talk about your podcast. Tell us all about it.
So it's called Love on Campus. So what we thought, there's a lot of romance podcasts now, and I've been listening to Sarah McLean's. That's great. But we thought what we'd like to do is talk about what romance looks like in a university setting, like what studying romance looks like. So it's me and then two of my postgraduate students, Kathleen Stanley and Georgia Nichols, and I'm Gen X, Kathleen's millennial, and Georgia is Gen Z. And so we kind of talk about romance from that into that intersection of generation, because we all have really different ideas about love and sex, and it's just fascinating. I mean, not that we're representative of our whole generation, but it's just been really interesting because we argue a lot over the definitions of romance, which I find fascinating, like, because it's so, there's so many different kinds of romance, and you come to it because you love it, but most people kind of sit in one corner of it and don't necessarily see the rest of it. I mean, you would know, you would talk to so many people.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's fascinating to look at like how it shifted, how it shifts like from perspective, when it started, like when did you get the first romance? Like some people were like hidden around and like it was like hidden. People didn't, like my parents did not know what I was reading, and it was like too early to like late bloomers who were just kind of like, hey, I just found a relief because I struggle with anxiety. Like that was my story. I struggled with anxiety, and I was like,
what was your first, what was your gateway romance?
So I actually, I read when I was growing up in the 90s, I used to read teenage like YA, like romance, like love stories that they were marketed as love stories, because I was reading too about how it was like companion books like were love stories.
Yeah.
Did not know those were romance. And then I moved on to chick lit or woman's whatever that was, like, it was romance in the, you know, living in London or living in New York City and trying to make that lifestyle. But I didn't come to romance like as a romance reader until 2016. And it was
really
self-published books. And dive into it.
Because I think that's been great, actually. Yeah. I know there can be divisions sometimes between trad and indie, but I think indie has been amazing for the readership because it is like there is, it shows what a voracious readership there is.
Yeah.
And I think it lets you find kind of your passion and what you love.
Yeah.
I remember I my gateway was really early. It was like those Sweet Valley High books. Do you remember them?
Yeah. That's where I got. I was reading Sweet Valley High. And like, I read them now. I don't know if you read them before, after like 30 or 20 years.
I haven't. I've still got my whole collection in a suitcase.
They are so cringeworthy. They're pass the test. They're not wholesome like the Babysitter's Club. Like Babysitter's Club is like, oh, it's wholesome. You can feel. Oh no, these are like Jessica was mean.
I know. Like she's a bully. Her and was it Lila, her friend? They were like
Lila, her friend, and they were like they had a deaf friend. Like the representation is cringeworthy. It's just
so
like
bad. And then there was an overweight friend who then I was awful. Yeah, you couldn't go back. I still have them all in a suitcase somewhere, but yeah, I have not gone back for
a
reread.
It was fascinating to read them because I'm like, I had such fun memories of getting the latest book every month.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you know, it's like, what was the next book it's gonna have? What was gonna
happen? And I remember I'd go to Target because they'd be at Target. And then also they would have like Joanna Lindsay and all the historical blockbusters would be out because Joanna Lindsay would have one out every 6 months. So I'd be there to get my Sweet Valley High. And then I migrated onto those kinds of historicals. And like you said, my parents would have no idea the content of those.
No, my parents didn't know like what I was reading. They were like, oh, you know, I was the only reader in my family. Like my immediate family, my brother did not read. like he read whatever, like at school, but not personally, like it's a joy. Like yeah. it's a joy. My parents did not. And so they were just kind of like, they just took me to the bookstore and I'll just buy my, like, whatever I thought was there, like, you know, in the YA section in the 90s, which is like, comparison to YA section and now it's like a completely yeah. different world.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, they didn't know, they didn't care. They're just like, oh, you're just reading books, like, you know.
And it was so, I mean, because romance was such a huge genre back then. Yeah. Like, it dominated sales and the bestseller list, but it was still so kind of hidden. It wasn't something anyone yeah. talked about or like, it was, like you said, you didn't talk about it with people. You just read it quietly by yourself. Whereas yeah. now I feel like there's a really thriving community.
Now it's a thriving and they're in defense of romance land, yeah, and we have... Yeah. We have things, you know, we have opinions about it, you yeah. know, so it's a really great place to be. I think it's like, for me, I found comfort to see, as someone who grew up in a really traumatic, like really unhealthy relationship, I found romance to teach me what healthy relationships
yeah.
look like.
Yeah. I think that's so true. I think it has this incredible ability to show you communication skills,
yeah.
what healthy love looks like, what care and compassion looks like, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. Yeah. And valuing yourself, like how I think they do really show heroines learning how to value themselves. Yeah. I think they're so valuable.
Yeah. So it's a good genre.
yeah. I'm all down with it. Awesome. I know I've thought about that a lot with the latest book with marrying off Morgan McBride with Pip, the main character. That's really her journey, is learning how to value herself. And
yep.
and demand that she gets what she deserves.
And that's yeah. what we need.
Yeah.
As our rights are being taken away, at least in the US, we're yeah. looking for ways to, you know, we have to value ourselves and like speak up and do what we need to do. So
yeah.
Awesome. So Amy, tell us where you can find you online.
Oh yeah. Okay. So Instagram, I'm really active on Instagram more than Facebook, but you can find me on both. So it's Amy Barry Author. So you can find me, that's my Instagram tag. And then you can find me at amybarry.com. But if you go to amybarry.com, you can get the portal to all my Insta and Facebook. I'm on both every day. So if you want to engage with me, I'm there. I'm really good at responding to messages too, like within hours unless I'm asleep. So if you want to reach out, do. I love talking to readers.
Awesome. Thank you, Amy, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.